gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May all is well in this land, this and
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, our Lord and King, grant that the peoples of the earth, now divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his gentle and loving rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for all your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up the shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you.
associates. Vous serez fortifiés à tous égards dans la vigueur de sa gloire et ainsi amenés à une persévérance et une patience à toute épreuve. Avec joie, rendez grâce au Père qui vous a rendu capable d'avoir part à l'héritage des saints dans la lumière. Il nous a arrachés au pouvoir des ténèbres et nous a transférés dans le royaume du Fils de son amour. En lui, nous sommes délivrés. Nos péchés sont pardonnés. Il est l'image du Dieu invisible, premier-né de toute créature, car en lui, tout a été créé. Dans les cieux et sur la terre, les êtres visibles comme les invisibles, trône et souveraineté, autorité et pouvoir. Tout est créé par lui et pour lui, et il est, lui, devant tout. Tout est maintenu en lui. Et il est, lui, la tête du corps qui est l'Église. Il est le commencement, premier-né d'entre les morts, afin de tenir en tout, lui, le premier rang. Car il a plu à Dieu de faire habiter en lui toute la plénitude et de tout réconcilier par lui et pour lui, et sur la terre et dans les cieux, ayant établi la paix par le sang de sa croix. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed the hands and feet of Creator set free, known as Jesus, to a tree pole, the cross. They did the same to two criminals, putting one on each side of him. Father, forgive them, Creator Freeze cried out. They do not know what they are doing. The soldiers divided his garments and gambled for them by drawing straws. The people watched as the spiritual leaders mocked him. He set others free, they said. Why can he not free himself if he's the Creator's chosen one? The soldiers offered Creator sets free wine mixed with bitter herbs and mocked him. If you are the great chief of the tribes, they laughed, then set yourself free. Above his head, carved above the crossbeam, were these words in three languages. This is the chief of the tribes of wrestles with Creator. One of the thieves next to him spewed out angry words. If you are the chosen one, save yourself and us. Then the other thief spoke up and said, have you no fear or respect for the Great Spirit? We are guilty and suffering for our own wrongdoings, but this man has done nothing wrong. The man turned to Creator Sets Free and said to him, honored one, remember me when you come into the power of your good robe. Creator Sets Free looked at the man and said, listen closely. Before the sun sets today, you will walk with me in the beautiful garden. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the love of Jesus reign in our lives. Amen. Did you notice that we read from Jesus on the cross while surrounded by Christmas decorations? It may seem an odd juxtaposition, so let me give a little background to that. First of all, we had the Christmas market yesterday, and it was a great energetic welcome of people to come and be in our space. We decorated our space to make it beautiful for that, and we're not taking it down for the season of Advent, but when it gets to Christmas Eve, it will be even more robust and beautiful. So just treat it as the background leading up to Christmas. As for reading from Jesus on the cross, this is where Jesus is designated a king. And we are, on this Sunday, recognizing Jesus Christ as the King who reigns in our lives and in our vision of the world. So it was on the cross that we have this sign. You heard it in the First Nations translation as the Great Chief, and that's a beautiful way of phrasing it. And we really struggle with what to call this day. Is it the reign of Christ, or is it Christ the King? Because we have ideas of what kingship looks like from our secular culture. And so chief is a good word. King, you know, we exist with this word, and we jostle up against it. But I think Jesus jostled up against that word too. He had that conversation with Pilate, who said, "So you are a king?" And Jesus replied, "You say that I'm a king." Now, my reading of Pilate is that he was not well-versed in the scriptures. He probably heard it from the crowd that they thought Jesus was a king. Jesus himself preferred the image of a shepherd. And so that well-known passage is John chapter 10, where he says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I'm not like the hired hand who abandons what they came to do." Jesus prefers the image of the shepherd. Both of these images come from the reading in Jeremiah that you heard. "Woe to you, shepherds, who have not looked after the sheep, who have scattered them." And Jeremiah then turns it to God, calling all these people, or sheep, really people, back together, and that he will place over them a king, a great shepherd, but a king, who will be the Lord is my righteousness. So it all hinges back on this reading. And I have to imagine the people who were talking about Jesus coming in on the donkey on what we call Palm Sunday, they had in mind that, okay, we have both a shepherd and a king coming to us. And that's where Pilate asks, "So you are a king?" And we get this image of Jesus with the sign above him on the cross. This is our last Sunday of the Christian year cycle. And in that cycle, we're going to move on to a new year cycle anticipating the birth of Jesus. That starts next Sunday with Advent. But in this Sunday, we summarize, who is Jesus really to us? What is he really on about? And we can take all that cumulative effect of stories since Easter, stories since the resurrection, the people he healed, the stories he told, and say the thrust of all of that is that Jesus has an image for us of who we're called to be, an ideal of how the whole world will work, and that we are to live into that way that the world should be. Now, I want to say a little bit more about that Jeremiah passage about woe to the shepherds who have scattered the sheep. So clergy, I think, have a little bit of a raw nerve when it comes to any passage that has shepherds in it, because, you know, we have this word pastor. I actually like the word because it connotes caregiving for people. But it's easy for clergy to look at any passage that has shepherds and say, "Oh, this is a judgment on me. I better really look after the sheep, the people," and to assume that it's really about us. When, if you look at the context in Jeremiah, it's not about religious leaders. It's about leaders in general. It's about all kinds of leadership that fails. So when I was ordained in the early 1990s, and this is the time where the sexual abuse scandals in the church had become foremost in the news. And so the bishop where I was serving established a whole sexual misconduct training program to equip clergy so that we would know the boundaries, respect the boundaries, allegations were brought against clergy where there was suspicions or cases of abuse. And we were all required to go every year to a training session where there were case studies on, here's a scenario that could happen in your ministry. Now we want to hear you say what you would do in this situation. And it's when we started putting glass windows in clergy office doors, when we started keeping doors open when people are having meetings. And you'd think that, you know, this passage is just about the clergy. At the time, we all signed off that we had done the boundaries training. We signed our annual return to the diocese, signifying that we had instructed all of our people in their ministries on proper boundary training. And if we couldn't sign that, we were not allowed to vote at Synod, the annual meeting of the diocese. Always very strict. You can see why clergy would slide down the road of thinking, oh, when it says sheep and shepherds, you know, we better really be intentional about our ethics and our proper role. But again, it's about all aspects of leadership. When the church was going through this questioning of its past leadership and past lack of appropriate boundaries, the same thing was happening with therapists, cub leaders and scout leaders, police officers, soccer coaches. There was a whole time of reckoning with what is the right way to be leaders. So here we are in our time now, you know, 30 years after those were the primary questions when I was first ordained. Many of those people who were perpetrators of abuse have been brought before cases of investigation and trials, being inhibited from their roles in all these fields. And we still have the legacy of people among us who have been harmed by institutions. Not just church, but all kinds of institutions. And they are among us. Maybe even some of you have experienced abuse in your life. We know that the result of that might be that people have some mental health challenges. They might have some substance and addiction issues because the pain is really hard, and maybe that can medicate the pain. We know that people from all kinds of journeys are hurting and seeking healing. In a diverse community, there will always be people whose pain is silent. So when Jesus acknowledges that king title, or prefers the shepherd title, when Jeremiah talks about the shepherd title, I think we need to talk about all leadership. And each of us, in our own way, is a leader in setting the tone in settings where we have a responsibility. Managers, parents, everybody sets a caring, safe space. When we ask people to join in roles in the worship and the life of our community, it's kind of a sacred calling where we expect of each other that we will do our best with each other, to be kind, to be gentle, to be safe. It's what we uphold together. It makes life beautiful in community, where you know you can be safe with other people. It is our collective sacred trust that we create a beautiful space for you to know love. That's actually Jesus' vision for everything, that you would know love. So the specific examples I've mentioned, yes, they're about knowing love. But you have your ways of helping make this kingdom reality be true. I guess I like to think of a great tapestry where your contribution is a piece of sewing and weaving in another part that I don't know anything about. And our collective good faith together is that this tapestry we're making is beautiful, and we each got to do something in it. We've noticed in our church that there are lots of announcements, and it means lots of people contributing their way of being involved. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for having a dream with us of how we can be a beautiful, safe space where we each flourish. I think that's what the kingdom of God means when Jesus teaches about it. A safe place for each of us to flourish. Thank God that you can flourish here, that we can each do it. Amen. Let your presence fill our hearts and overflow in our actions, that we may proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Fill us with your welcoming spirit of truth, that we may faithfully teach, baptize, and nurture those who come to believe in you. As you came to serve and not to be served, fill us with the compassion and insight to respond to human need by loving service. In Jesus' name we pray. On the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony. Teach us to love people just as they are and embrace their identity fully, as you have embraced us. In Jesus' name we pray. Church, remembering Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and all who minister here at St. John's. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to elect a new bishop, for those discerning a call to let their name stand for election, for the candidates, for members of synod, and for our diocesan administrator, Bishop Michael Byrd. In our diocese, we uphold the parish of All Saints Westboro, and their priests, the Venerable Catherine Otley and the Reverend Chung Yang Lam. We pray for the staff at Ascension House, and we uphold our community ministries. In Jesus' name we pray. Places where there is war or famine, remembering especially Ukraine and Gaza. Restore to new life the places in this world that suffer from conflict and are deaf to the message of peace. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We lift up Charles, our king, Mark, our prime minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud, our local mayors, and all in authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Healing of minds and hearts, that the healing touch of Jesus will restore us and give us new hope. We pray for health and wholeness for those who are sick and suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We uphold in our prayers Alex, Doug, Jill, and Barton. In Jesus' name we pray. Who have died in your peace, that they may sing your praises without ceasing for all eternity. On this day, we remember and give thanks for the life and witness of Maura Beecher. Rest eternal grant unto her, O Lord. And we ask you to comfort those who mourn. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray that we may bear the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Take firm root in our lives so that we may lovingly serve and welcome all with no exceptions. Help us to live together in your love and shine as lights in the darkness, to reveal your glory in the world. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God, from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always.
To love and serve the Lord.